Guys, we're back for another conversation talking about chakras. I'm sure you heard the first one, which was amazing. The second one, we're moving right along to chakra number two, and it'll just be as amazing. We'll be right back. Welcome to Conversations with Roland, where the goal of this show is to learn life secrets through diverse experiences. I am your host, Roland Achenjang. Guys, welcome to another episode of Conversations with Roland. As always, I am super excited to record these conversations, and today's no different. Today, we will be talking about chakra number two, our sacral chakra, I believe. And with me is an amazing guest, a regular on Conversations with Roland, who really needs no introduction at this time. But she's a mentor and a spiritual / alternative healing coach. She actually attuned me in Reiki and loves chakra. It's like one of her biggest passions. And it's my absolute pleasure to welcome Char Young again on Conversations with Roland. So, Shaw, welcome. How are you, my friend?
Hello, Roland. I'm awesome. It's awesome to be here with you. Thank you. I'm excited. Our second chakra. Yes. This is a good one.
I'm excited too. I love having these conversations with you. Just the passion that you have, the knowledge that you have for chakras is beyond anything that I could ever imagine. And so, I mean, what we talk about benefits both me in particular. And that kind of sounds kind of selfish, but it's true because I'm learning a lot. And then the guests, too, who are listening, they get to know about chakras. And just one thing before we even continue is growing up, my upbringing didn't involve knowledge about chakras. So learning about these aspects of our being really does fascinate me. And I appreciate that you're here providing us these lessons, which are, like I say, super valuable. Yeah.
Well, you're very welcome. And I am right along with you. I did not know anything about chakras or energy or Reiki or any of the stuff that I'm interested in or that I talk about or that I teach. Yeah, did not come from my childhood. It was kind of a two-part thing. One, there was something inside of me that I knew it was different. I knew that I was different. I knew what I saw around me was not the only thing, that there had to be something, more different. I don't know what it was, but there was just something that pulled me. And so, so then I went along with life, and it wasn't until around 2000, 2001, 2002, right around in there, where I was introduced to energy, and not until 2004, until chakras. And I was fascinated by them ever since. They hold so much potential. They hold so much information. You can really change. You can change all aspects of your being, upgrading it, becoming healthier, becoming more balanced, becoming more in alignment, whatever words you want to use, if you can flow, if you can understand, if you can work with these things that we can't see, which is Reiki, which is ultimately the chakras, because they are energy wheels that feed our physical body. So they're just absolutely delicious. And today in the second chakra, I hope you are still excited about it, because this is the feelings place, and lots of people don't want to go into feelings. So fingers crossed that we get to do the rest of the chakra things after this one.
I'm sure whoever's listening will appreciate what we have to tell them about the importance of going into their feelings. And I, for one, I'm ready, especially after my awakening. I want to get into every single one of my feelings, because it's the only way we grow. If we avoid it and push them down and away from us, we're basically delaying our growth.
You are spot on. That is all about feelings are so important because it brings consciousness into the body. And they are the doorway to, like you said, our own awakening, our own moving up through the levels. You have to feel. You have to feel in order to heal. And feeling is the frequency, is the energy that makes our heartbeat, you know, whatever name you want to put on that, that is how it communicates with us, is through the energy of feeling. So spot on, Roland. Yay. 10 points right there. Boom.
Yeah. Lessons over, yep. Guys. Thanks. This is the end of the podcast. Yeah. Thanks for coming. Well, so I'll set you up just like I did last time. What I know about the chakra, it's has to do with establishing the self through feeling, like you say. Sanskrit name is Svahasthana. If I just butchered that, I apologize, but I don't know Sanskrit. But yeah, it's Svahasthana chakra, I believe. Yeah. Associated color is orange, and I should know better by now, right? Look, Shah's got an orange shirt on, and here I am sitting with a white t-shirt. And during our last conversation, you had a red t-shirt on, which was, oh, I should know better. I'm totally going to wear yellow next time.
This is how, when I teach them, I got to be in the energy. So you're catching on right away. One of my first chakra classes, students didn't catch on until like chakra 6. They're like, hey, you're wearing the same color we're talking about. Yes, I am.
Yeah. Oh, man. I know what to do next time. Yeah, and it's located right in our sacral area, right below our belly button. Many people say it's associated with our reproductive organs as well. And the symbol, and this is basically, Sanskrit information that I'm sharing here. It's a lotus with 6 petals and a white crescent moon, kind of symbolizing water, which is its element.
Yeah, yes.
And so setting you up, and then you've mentioned, but just tell us what's the purpose of this second wheel of life.
Okay, so when you said the Sanskrit name, self-established, that is, this is your own space. This is one's own space. So if I was teaching a class, we would put our hands right below our second, right below our navel, probably about 2 finger widths right under your navel. But it's not a very big area. It's just this little narrow strip around your waist. So just holding that sacred space. Space. That's your own space. This is where our first life force connection is. And this is where we want to sit. We want to sit deep inside of, we want to sit in the seat of the soul. So you want to sit in here, and then you're leading from this space. You are choosing from this space. Not when we're up in the head where we got all these programs and outdated information and we're running on filters. But when you're sitting down inside, and if we were to do a meditation, a guided meditation, to get all your energy down into your lower belly here, you can really feel the grounded. You can feel yourself just sitting in. And this is where we want to be. This is, like you said, a water element. So in the symbol, there's a moon. Well, our emotions, our feelings can be, well, they are, when you become a master of holding your center and holding your ground inside of your body, the moon doesn't pull you out of, all the waxes and wanes and the full moons and the new moons. You've seen, and you've probably experienced it yourself, different emotions that you have through the month. But once you can be seated in here, you can see that it's a full moon, but it doesn't pull you out of center because you've mastered your energy. You've mastered the emotions that flow through. You probably got rid of a lot of emotions because in this area, like you said, it's the water element. It's also I don't really care for this word, but polarities. Your night and day, your male, your female, your receiving, your giving. Because when you come up out of the root chakra, you're at one. You got one centered point, your end of your tailbone, that one point. And then you come up and then you branch out. So you're in the first chakra, which is your tribe, which is your family, which is where you were born, your survival needs. And then you come up and you step out of that tribal, that family group dynamic, and you start to make friends with other people outside of that group. It usually happens like when you go to school. So then you're branching out. You are now learning to, you know, have friends, significant others, you know, coworkers. You're co-creating. You come back, you come into two. You've come in to this energy of working with someone else, which is the water, the fluids. Can you, if you think about this physically, what do we have down here? We have, like you said, the reproductive system. It's usually in pairs, you know. It's all about flowing, be it your moon cycle or any other fluids that happen down here. It's all about the water. It's all about letting go. It's going with the flow of life, which is very scary for people. If you are a control freak, you will have issues down in here. You'll not flow very well in life or in your cycles or with fluids. You'll have stuck, stagnant energy down in here. You'll have lower back pains. You'll have cramping. You know, that'll show up in any reproductive issues, be it male or female, will show up down in here, which is all about, are you balanced? Are you ability to let go and flow with life? Can you move? Is your body fluid or is it stiff and rigid?
Oh, that's fascinating. The whole idea of reproductive issues being associated with kind of being a control freak, this is the first time I've heard both of them kind of, let me not say a control freak in a bad way, but kind of wanting to control a lot of your life, not being willing to let go of certain things, play a hand here. And I was going to say play a hand here because with many folks that I've been, you know, lucky enough to know and interact with who have struggled to have babies or get pregnant, one thing you always hear from other folks who eventually had babies who are trying to console them is to say this. They always say something along the lines of, just let go. It will happen when it will happen. Like, don't try to control the fact that you want to get pregnant right now. Once you let go and you're not even like trying to have a baby, you end up getting pregnant or something along those lines. And so to me, in my mind, that's like, oh, okay, that's definitely a second chakra type deal that's also showing you maybe to let go of the need to control certain other aspects of your life.
Mm-hmm. And in that, that's a really good example. I've worked with a lot of couples who wanted to become pregnant and were just challenged by it. Didn't help, you know, nothing. They've even went so far as, you know, the injections and all that. And when I work with the female, it is, it's the control issues. It's like, I want it at this time, you know, having all that. They're very controlling in their relationships, you know, their adult relationships now. But if I take them deeper than that, they're also concerned with either the mother or the mother-in-law being involved too much. That is sometimes a fear, because if they look at their mother or mother-in-law and they're controlling, they're like, oh yeah, I do not want them telling me what to do with my own child. And that will be a fear, which will block the flow of creativity. Another thing that will block pregnancies is even if you're not wanting to create a child, if you're wanting to create a business, if you're wanting to have a good relationship with a significant other, and there's constantly issues going on, well, what's in your tissues, the emotional scarring is sexual abuse, is any sort of abuse. Any sort of abuse that happens, and if you haven't properly felt and released the whole event, if you're still holding on to things, that will block the flow of creativity as well. And then it's also the fear of, whoa, what if I can't do this? This is a lot of responsibility. I kind of like my life, you know, without a child, you know. So fear is the big one that blocks into the second. And it could be even a business or having a really good relationship. You know, it comes down to worth also. Well, I don't think I'm worthy of a good relationship, so I'm going to stay in this one where we fight and beat on each other. Oh, because of the worth isn't there, or the fears of, I just not one that, you know, can have something good in my life. So it's very fascinating. For such a small area, if it's just above your hip bones and under your belly button, it's like about the width of a wide belt. There is everything packed in there.
Oh, my. Classic don't judge a book or a chakra by its size, right?
Yep.
Or its location. So two fascinating things here that I kind of want to touch on. This is usually to improve my understanding. When you talk of the second chakra aiding in your ability to create, it's not always necessarily procreation. It's literally a creative expression of anything that you desire. Writing a paper, starting a business, having a baby, creating a party environment, or planning an event, essentially.
Correct. It's all about the creating. Anything creative, even if you just, you know, are doodling or trying to create a safe home, you know, decorating. Any creative, any pleasure, any movement. It can be dance. It can be yoga. It can, any creating, how you create a living, how you create money flow to come into your life. Yeah, it is anything that you are trying to, any idea, any pleasure is out of the second chakra. And lots of people won't let themselves have pleasure in any form. It won't even be chocolate. It's the simplest things that people will deny themselves pleasure. And then that is because there's something blocked. The fluids are not flowing like a river.
Ah. And the second piece, thank you for that. The second piece is the relationships piece, which in thinking about it, right, you said the first chakra is your tribe. And the relationship piece now has to do with how you relate to other folks and to other parts of your life that you deal with, whether it's at work or at home or your social circle. And it makes me think then that, you know, these kind of go hand in hand. If you're creating an environment that you're comfortable with, if you're co-creating with people that you like, and, you know, your work is sort of fruitful based off of your subjective understanding, then those are signs that your second chakra is kind of in balance, right? It's how you show up. Is that a good way? How you're showing up in the world?
Yeah. How are you showing up in relationships? Because remember, how you do one thing is how you do everything. So if you have strained relationships with, you know, anyone or everyone, peel back and look at, well, how are you relating with yourself? It's all about the pair, the two. Can you visit with another one? How is that relationship? Like you said, be it a coworker, be it a business partner, be it a significant other, be it your siblings, be it friends, be it just somebody standing in the checkout line.
Yeah.
Are you kind to them? If I have a ton of stuff in my bag, not even if a ton, if I have five things and the person behind me has one, I don't care how behind schedule I am, I'll let that person go ahead of me always. Because it's just a kind gesture.
Kind thing to do. Yeah. Now, okay, help me understand this then. You know, we started by talking about the second chakra being all about emotions and feelings. And so how does this tie into creativity and relationships?
Okay, so I just adjusted myself because now we're getting into the good stuff here. Okay.
I love it.
How you do... Like I said, how you do anything, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And how you do that thing is by the filters that are over your heart, over your eyes. Okay? Because remember, we're never in the present moment. We're always running on history, which is something that happened before. Does that make sense?
I'm with you.
Okay. So if you and I had a poor conversation the last time, that's what your energy is going to base this next call on. Okay, you're like, oh, we didn't have a great conversation. So the mind chatter, the energy is already like, okay, it's probably going to be similar to the last time. So you're running on those filters. We never really see, it takes practice, I should say. It takes practice to show up brand new every moment and not to run on past conversations, past visits. The things that happened before when you and I saw each other. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm with you.
Okay. So let's say you and I had a big old fight and we never dealt with the emotions, with the feelings, with the issue. Okay. We just was like, let's just forget it. But both of us were punched in the heart. We're really sad. And we didn't want to feel that sadness. We didn't want to feel that anger. So we pushed it down, just ignored it. We're like, oh, that didn't, you know, we pulled up our big boots and our big pants and we just pretend it didn't happen. But both of us, there was a wound that happened. Okay, we were both saddened. We were hurt feelings. So now the next time we see each other, because we never resolved anything, that's what's running our conversation now. Because we're still in that same energy of before, of our first conversation, so we're still in that frequency. So in order to rise up into the levels of awareness, and in order to rise above that anger, rise above those hurt feelings, we actually have to drop down into them and feel them. We need to feel the sadness or the abandonment issue or the anger. It's not about the other person. The other person is showing up in front of you as love, because everything is love. And we'll talk about that as we go on. But the other person was standing in front of you to show you an old program that you have running inside of you from your childhood, an old program from your ancestors that are still in your cells. So if I am willing to feel the uncomfortableness, I will see Roland standing in front of me and know that, okay, he is only showing up as love. His words were neutral, but I took them the wrong way because of something that happened when I was little or something that happened to my parents or their parents that's in my cells that was poked, that was triggered. Okay, because that's in my issue. Those feelings are in my tissues, be it in a cell or be it something I stuffed. So you're showing up in front of me and I can either react and like, oh yeah, well, that, and then spew out words so I don't have to feel that uncomfortableness. Or a wise person who chooses to do the spiritual journey will zip its lip and you're standing in front of me and I'm like, oh, slowing down to feel like, oh, that makes my tummy feel a little, oh, my heart is sad, or I've got a pain in, you know, my left side or right side or in my back. You know, someplace there's a physical pain that showed up. So that energy that I stuffed before or that was downloaded into me, now I have a choice. I can like, oh, just a second, Roland. Oh, just a second, I gotta. And I wouldn't do that in a conversation. I would with a friend, a close friend that I can have these deep conversations with, or my significant other, and just like, just a second, and I will just allow it to be there. And that issue, that topic, those words, which are just energy, they're now like showing me, okay, we got some buried treasure here. Are you willing to feel it so it can bubble up and feel that emotion? And if you will, if a person will just stop and feel that emotion, it takes less than 15 minutes. For me, now I can do it in like minutes. They'll be like, oh, just a second. And it will leave. I'll have an insight like, oh, okay, that was an abandonment issue, or, you know, I'm not good enough. I have low self-worth or any of that. I can feel like, oh, I don't think I'm worthy of, you know, whatever the thing is, but if you can hold the space, it is then released out of your tissues and it will show up as an emotion. Either it's a crying release or a yawning, or for some people it's laughter. They have to laugh so hard because they're not about crying. Some it's puking. Some it's coming out the other end, but somehow it's going to leave your body. It's got to leave those tissues because it got so dense. It showed up in a physical form that we can see. It's like a sore muscle, a tummy ache, you know, diarrhea, vomit, tears. It's something which are all liquid, and it needs to leave the tissues because it got stuffed, it got dense. So the feelings, when we feel that sensation, instead of being afraid of it, it then releases from our body and we are then cleaner. We're lighter. And we talked about that before. When you release an emotion, when you release this heavy stuck energy, it actually is lighter on you.
Yeah.
So the sensations and the feelings contribute to our emotions. Most people don't want to feel the sensations and the feelings. They're like, oh, that feels scary. Nope, I'm not going to do that. So then they just stay up above their neck and they just come out with all sorts of words. They spew out the mouth. But if you can hold still and just feel like, oh, this is uncomfortable. This makes me feel scared. Oh, and just feel that. That can no longer be stuck in your muscles, can no longer be stuck in your tissues. Then you won't have those crazy emotions.
Yeah. You know, a couple of things, Shah. I like that you call these feelings that are coming up. By the way, before I even say this, sorry, this is exactly why I love talking to you about this. Like, that's an awesome lesson right there. And if you listen, this is like awesome opportunity to learn how to grow emotionally and also spiritually. I mean, that's a really, really fascinating and amazing explanation that you just provided. And you call these issues in our tissues buried treasure. And when you said that, I was thinking of like a leprechaun at the end of a rainbow. And I was like, it is really buried treasure because it's fascinating. It is. And then the other thing you talked about was, you know, the release happening in so many different ways physically. Now, I've experienced this and I constantly do. And my releases are usually burps. I don't know why, but it's just burps. But one thing you mentioned was the release. It could be liquid, like you could cry or something like that. And I wanted to ask if those releases usually are going to match the element or the chakra that you're working on. So, for instance, if mine is a burp and it's air, does it mean it's more of a chakra that's associated with the element of air? If it's, you know, if I'm crying, does that mean it's a chakra that's associated with the element of water? Are those interrelated? Or it's just a question that came to my mind, I thought.
That is a delicious question. And I'm going to start to watch. I have never, I don't know, maybe.
I just thought about it because I thought, why am I burping, you know, and I don't
know. And it could be different densities, different, because now when I clear chakras, before my body would physically move, and now it doesn't move, but when it's cleared, I'll like have deep yawns, and then it's like old stagnant stuff. So I don't know if it's how we grow through the chakras, because you're going to go up and down the chakras lots of times because we're spiraling all of the time. And some people just will not. They just, for some unknown reason, they are just like, well, I'm not a crier. I remember during the yoga training that I just completed, one of the instructors said, I really am fascinated that you can just cry. I'm not a crier. And I just thought that was interesting. I was like, huh, that's an interesting statement. I don't have a problem crying. I mean, because I know that I am, every time that I am releasing, even if it's an emotional thing, that I am moving that much closer to my soul, to source, to the energy that makes my heart beat. The more that I can do the work of clearing out all of the filters, all of the ways that, all of the old ways, all of the afraid, fearful ways of seeing people, events, the world, if I can remove all of those and have a clean, clear perception, I will do whatever it takes. If it's crying on TV, bawling in front of millions of people, I don't care, because I know on the other side of that, I am cleaner, I am brighter, and I am so much closer to source. And that's all I care about.
Speaking like a true sage. I love it. It doesn't matter. I'm going over this mountain so that I'm cleaner on the other side. Let's go.
Yeah.
I love it.
Because that's what we want to do, is let go of the filters. So, because then I want to see things as neutral and as in as much love as they were, as the universe created it.
Indeed.
I don't want to see it from my old programs. I don't want to see it from my parents' programs. I don't want to see it from my coworkers or my friends or my significant other's filters. Yeah. I want to see things as they were created. And everything is created neutral and in love. Of love, for love, all about love. And it's not the love like, oh, I love you.
No, it's unconditional.
It's a love that you can't even explain, that is so like our bodies would just explode if we could actually feel all of the love that we are.
Yeah. No, you're right. I discussed that in my book, actually. I mean, I do in a couple of chapters, I think 6 and 7, or definitely 7 and 8 for sure. And by the way, I just found out my book's now on Audible. Yay. That just happened 2 days ago. It's awesome. Everyone's been asking when it'll be on Audible. So now you can get Who and Why You Are on Audible. No excuses. It's everywhere. So, but you know, the whole idea of trying to see the world the way the Creator created it, that has been like my number one goal lately, since my awakening, is remembering that that's really what, in our limited minds, our best understanding of unconditional love is, a love with no conditions. That means what is as it is, always perfect. And anytime we try to change or say it's not perfect, right? That's also us kind of displaying unconditional love by qualifying it the way we think it should through, quote unquote, our emotional second chakra dependent filtering that we're looking at the world through. I love this, man. Ah, yeah. So many lessons. But yeah.
It's just it's a filter. So for like when I work with couples, this would be a great thing to listen to, but are couples that are having issues, first of all, stop arguing. I don't care. Stop arguing and let one person talk and the other person just feel in your body what those words feel like. That's it. Just feel the uncomfortableness, the old programming, the anger, the fear of change, whatever it is, just let one person talk and the other one be quiet and just feel how uncomfortable every word that he or she is saying. And then you're then swap, then the other person. And it's not in your face, you know, screaming at him. It's like, okay, here's my version. Here's what I'm feeling. And then spill it all out. And the other one, the other partner, just sit there and listen. Listen with your body, not with your head. Listen with your body. Where do those words land in your heart, in your tummy? You know, you might need to take notes. And if you feel those uncomfortable feelings, they leave your body. They have less, there's less firecrackers in the next conversation because you've put out all of these fires that are inside of both of you.
Random question, Char. Is feeling enough to cause the pain to leave or the sort of imbalance to leave? Just feeling them, is that enough?
Yeah. Yep. It really is. It is. I like the example. Roger will have physical pains in his body and he is not a feel. He doesn't want to
feel. He's a man's man.
He's getting better. Yeah, he's a man's man, but he's getting better. And that's where my gift comes in, that for those people that don't want to feel their stuff, they may not know how. And the biggest thing is, it may not be part of their breadcrumb trail ever to feel.
Yeah.
So it's honoring what your breadcrumb trail is. And then, so we'll have a conversation. So for one whole year, he had plantar fascia, got different insoles into his shoes. Also, you know, his foot would hurt constantly for one whole year. Well, in that year, him and I were not in the best of terms. This was in 2011, I think it was. It was right when I was opening up the store. And there was all sorts of stuff happening in me because I'm creating this store. So there's all sorts of that creativity energy being released and all the fears of, you know, what to do and how to do it and blah, blah, blah. And him and I were not getting along. So it showed up in his foot, like I said, for one whole year. Finally, it was coming close to that 1 year mark. We were standing in our kitchen doing the dishes after we ate. And we were having a kind of an argument again, you know, like, well, where do you think you're going to live? And, you know, it was getting down to that. Like, well, if something happens, where do you think you're going to live? You know, this is the home I grew up in and who's leaving and blah, blah, blah. And then a feeling bubbled up in him And I was able to tap into it because we were standing close to each other and we were having a talk. So I don't do this randomly and, you know, with anybody. You know, there has to be some consent and there has, you know, if it happens in client sessions, that's what they're hired me to do. But anyway, we're standing there and I was like, oh, you didn't feel wanted when you were living with your sister-in-law. So when he was little, his parents died when he was little, one at 9 and one at 11. So he had to live with his older brother and his wife. And it wasn't a pleasurable thing there. And he was a teenager. What is he, like a maybe 11th grader, something like that. And those same words that I was saying were being said to him again, you know, however, you know, in his 40s. So way back when he was 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, he was hearing these words of, where are you going to live? You can't live here. So he doesn't know, because remember what the first chakra is, safety, a home, food, shelter, you know, all of our survival things, which is your feet. He didn't feel grounded there in his home when he was a kid. So he ended up in his senior year, him and his sister were renting a house in this small town he lived in. They were renting a house at that time. But because he's a teenager, he's a guy, he didn't want to feel any of that stuff. So it got stuck in his survival area, which is his root chakra. So it got stuck in his foot. He goes on with life, doesn't have any foot pains, plays football, you know, does all this stuff. And now he comes up, life goes around, and he comes up now to a conversation with his wife, who is saying the exact same words as his sister-in-law did when he was a teenager. Okay, because remember, I'm love. I'm a part of the universe showing up in front of Roger to say this certain thing to show you what you got still stuck inside of you. Are you willing to feel it this time? Are you willing to bury it longer? Because this is an opportunity. The moon, the sun, the earth has went around however many bazillion times, and now here's your opportunity. Are you going to show up in full, or are you going to resist and bury and choose not to grow closer to source? So here we are. And I was like, oh, you didn't feel like you had any place when you were younger. And now it's happening again. And we had this big shift of an aha. Like we both felt it in our heart. And we both felt the unsafe, the no, you know, not feeling secure in our own home. Because we both had the same stuff growing up. And it was, and then we got it. You can feel it in your tissues when you get it, when you get the message. Mm-hmm. And I'm covered in goosebumps right now.
So we look at each other.
We look at each other and I was like, oh, you didn't know where you were going to live when you were younger. And now it's happening again. Oh, and we both felt it and it lasted just minutes. And I released and he had a little bit of a release. You know, he cried a little, he like sighed. It was just, you can see it on a person's face when they get the aha, when they get the lesson, when they get the message. And we both looked at each other and I was like, oh, that's it. And we were covered with goosebumps. And the next day, foot pain totally gone. Like he never had it.
Man.
Ever.
I am not surprised by that story. It's fascinating. Thank you for sharing. It's beautiful. It's also powerful. It's like a real life example of what your ability to work with your chakras can do for you. Like these sort of outcomes, sitting there and feeling with your body. Sorry I'm laughing, but that's so beautiful.
No, it's crazy. I have numerous stories like that. Physically, the pain leaves their body. In myself, I can feel it like by the end of the day. And the next day, it's like I'd never had that pain. And most people would have went to an emergency room or, you know, went to the doctor and they would have been, you know, oh, you've got to rip out your gallbladder and blah, 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 you know. Yeah. If your bones are not sticking out of your skin or if your, you know, skin's not flapping open and blood just pouring out, your body can heal if you're just willing to feel the emotions.
It's an intelligent.
I told you I love the chakra.
Yeah.
Man. I told you.
I can tell. I know what I'm sending you for your birthday and Christmas. A bunch of orange items, orange items. No, I love it. That's actually fascinating. And you, with me in particular, you kind of preach into the choir of looking at working with your body to heal ailments that show up before kind of going to the emergency department. I actually have a video on my Instagram page where I sprained my right ankle. And as soon as I did it, I thought, okay, this is something I'm trying to release here. And my wife, she really wanted me to go to the ER. And I said, nah, I'm not. I'm going to use Reiki. I'm going to spend time with myself and this stuff will heal. And within a week, I wasn't back to 100%, but I was able to move on it. And I made a small video, I made a small video about it on my Instagram page. But oh, this is great. Hey, let's keep going. So, you know, I kind of asked you this question on the last chakra about, you know, what time frames these chakras sort of develop. And I've heard stories of them developing, you know, just about every 7 years. And we, in the last conversation, we said right now, you can't really define, especially with the new souls that are incarnating, you know, in listening to the story about you and your husband, right, that happened in his teenage years, kind of, right, second chakra stuff, which was showing up again. But what do you think?
Well, from what I've read, you know, it's about age 2 that this one starts to really, you know, get locked in. But again, like you said, first of all, our body changes every 7 years and we get new cells. Your body's constantly changing and healing. What is it? Every 6 months or, you know, and you're always going up and down the chakras. So that's why I always like to look at these as a level of awareness.
Okay.
Steps. So in chakra 1, if I'm talking about the level of awareness, because that's kind of how you can see where someone's at in the bigger picture. Because once you awakened, you can't go back to being asleep. You just, unless it's part of your breadcrumb trail, but I have never heard of anybody,
yeah,
you know, coming to a full awakened state and then somehow go totally back to sleep. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense, and I've never seen that happen. But if you're, so as a levels of awareness, if you are activating, if you are living, if you are being from your first chakra, you are constantly looking to your family for what you need to do. Have you ever talked to anybody like that? I have in some clients. It's like, well, why are you asking your parents what you need to do when you're got kids and a husband and live in a different state, you know? But they're still operating from their first chakra where the decisions are made. You go to a family member for what you should be doing, okay? And now when we step up out of this first chakra and you go into the second chakra, now you might not ask your family, but you're asking your significant other, or your friends, or your coworkers what you should be doing. Or even, you know, when I'm working with a client, well, what do you think I should be doing? Don't take me there. It ain't my, it's you. I want you to hold your awareness. I want you to hold your choice and choose from that. And then as we go up through the other ones, we'll see what happens with their level of awareness.
I see. Then. So there's a certain sense of, right, like, I mean, it's what the chakra has talked about, established self. So you're really not seeking for a lot of answers. You're able to kind of go within more so and then know how to express yourself creatively within your relationships and with what you're trying to bring out into the world.
You can easily just like, you have more balance. You're letting go of control of others, especially. I mean, you've seen some mothers of adult children and they're still trying to control them. And I was like, whoa, what are you doing? They're an adult and they have kids.
Yeah.
So what, you know, or, I know, like, my mom was still trying to tell my 72-year-old brother what he should be doing. I'm like, that ain't none of your business. He's 72, you know? But it's that sort of, you just can't let go of control, or you can just be okay with whatever. And that took practice for me. As I evolved with my classes, I have less and less notes. And the last retreat I did, I had nothing. So it was a big, like, I had nothing. And it was going to start in, like, 3 hours, and here I am walking around Medora. I'm like, I got nothing. Wow, the fear is really coming up. I got nothing. I'm going to just totally wing it, you know. And it was the deepest, it was the richest retreat yet. But it took my practice to like just let go, show up each moment. Just let go, show up. Just let go, show up. a lot of stuff gets stuck in here. Because if you remember, our earth is our riverbanks. And if you've got a nice flowing river, it just flows down the stream. Or if you've got a whole bunch of baggage in the way, you've got all those rocks, all those trees, it has to maneuver and it doesn't go quite as fast. Or if you're one big hot mess and you got emotions all over, then that water is flooded up and it's just flat. It's just running across the land. Those are those hot messes who's got emotions everywhere, cry or argue or scream at the drop of a pin.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They got emotions up over the banks and it's just spreading across the land.
Yeah. Oh, neat. Now, hey, I want to ask you this too, Char. In one of our conversations, you had basically words that describe the extreme ends of these chakras. And I don't know if you want to touch on that.
Sure. So if you are really closed, or if this is really blocked, those words are kind of limiting. If you got a lot of stuff in your tissues, if you haven't resolved any of relationships, be it ending relationships, people that have passed, relationships that have ended. If you just have a lot of baggage, you're going to be real frigid. Your body's going to be real tight. You're not going to want to move and be playful. You're just, you know, very stoic. I wish I could do that. But it's just not, your body's not allowing you to do it because it has so much baggage in there.
Yeah.
If you're balanced, then you're going to be able to be playful. You're going to be able to move your body. If you're balanced, you're going to enjoy pleasure, but not overindulge. But you're going to allow yourself to have massages because it feels good. You're going to take, you know, soaking baths. You're going to be more playful. You're going to dance freely. Your body's going to be able to move. You're not going to have any physical pains in your lower back or anything like that. If there's not much going on there, you're going to be real shy. You're going to be real closed in.
Yeah. I remember you used the words, and I believe it was the matter and empress.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The martyr.
Yeah.
Yep. Those are the other words that I use for the levels of awareness.
Okay.
So the martyr is, you know, I'll do this. You know, nobody else will do this. So I'm going to have to do this. I'm the only one who can do this. You know, I can look back on my life and like, oh, wow, I was playing the martyr card there. Or the empress is, you know, kind of a queen energy, but not bossy over anybody, but just like, you know what, I'm worth this. Mm-hmm. I'm worth pleasure. I'm worth having fun. I'm just worth it.
Yeah. You know? You are worth it.
Oh, thank you. So are you.
So, I was just also kind of thinking, like, Char just said she had a 72-year-old brother. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's
right?
That's the second one. So what do I got right before that? Between me and the firstborn, I'm the lastborn, and the firstborn is 21 years. So my mom technically had three families. She had like three or four, 7-year break,
yeah.
Another little batch, a 7-year break, and then me. So I had the perfect Libra life. I had brothers and sisters at home,
uh-huh.
And then they were also moved out of the house by the time I was like into, you know, later grade school and high school. So I had siblings at home, and then I had the only child experience as well, and being the youngest, and then named after my father. So all sorts of opportunities there to be spoiled. We'll just say that.
Awesome.
Because who in the right mind would want children at 42 and 44?
I hear you.
In 1967, number 8. I mean, that's just...
The real question is, who in your right mind will incarnate in such a family, right? Who would choose that, right?
I know. And I'm just getting that information now. It's like, oh, okay. Because what you have going on in front of you is the sole purpose for your growth. So for years, I resisted. And now it's like, oh, this is a great opportunity for me to grow.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a great opportunity for me to let go of old programs, to rise up. Because I think I've told you this before. I know in the depths of myself that we are here for more than just a 9-to-5 job, a 401k plan, a retirement program, and then dying. That is a low bill of sales there, is all I got to say.
It's pretty low, especially since you can't take any of that with you.
No, the only thing that stays with you is your soul. Yeah. So why wouldn't you want to clean that baby up and make it sparkly?
No kidding. I mean,
yes.
No kidding. I mean, that those are the kind of trains of thoughts that push me to meditating, right? It's just, it didn't make sense. And then when I tried to make sense of the Earth Life experience using my rational mind, it just failed me tremendously, right? It didn't add up. Like, logic doesn't make sense. Logic is illogical. I mean, essentially, it is. And I tried looking at my religious teachings, looking at my professional teachings in pharmacy school and in business school and professionally working. Not to say there's anything wrong with it. Is for most, actually, I say for the majority of us, unless you come in here and you just remember, you know exactly what your purpose and your soul's lessons are, which you don't, because part of your incarnation is choosing to come in blindly, essentially, right? And so unless somehow you manage to sign a contract with consciousness that says you're going to come in and you're going to know from day one, all these outside experiences and events, our family kind of shaping us with your beliefs and your fears, taking on the conditionings of our ancestors, are all meant to help us really learn our lesson, is to deal with this, what I call stretching the illusion of your reality so far beyond what is actually real, that at some point it's going to snap and you're going to come back. And then when you come back, it's like a spiritual awakening and you're like, oh, this is cool. Now I.
Yeah, because for a while, even when I had my store, I can look back and I was like, oh, I was functioning as a spiritual intellect. And I can see because I know all the stuff. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until the last couple years that now I feel all the stuff. Feel it. So when this just happened not very long ago, just a couple months ago, in fact, I was like, oh, I was intellectually saying I was taking this yoga certification as a way to know myself better. For one, I liked it because each month that we met was based on a chakra. So I was like, oh, I love that energy, because that is energy that's already programmed into us. So it can take you deep if you will allow it. So we get to the throat chakra, and that has been, and it's going to be a shock to you, but that has been, to speak up and out is a big fear of mine growing up. You know, who are you to say these things? You know, what do you know? Are you, you know, don't be pious is something that my dad always told me. Don't be pious. Don't be pious. And I'm like, what? Because I just knew. I was like, this ain't no ego thing. This is just what it is. So that was a big one for me. But I knew it intellectually, but the feelings were right there. So I just allowed myself to feel that, because there's you can know something intellectually and you know it all day long and you can talk about it forever, but until you feel it, then that makes a huge change in your cells.
Yeah.
And then I could look back and I was like, whoa, I was intellectually on the spiritual path, but I wasn't feeling. Feeling is the key. Feeling is the doorway to awakened state of being. And you know, that takes you higher up in the conscious and the levels of awareness. If you're willing to feel the uncomfortable feelings and not just talk about them all day long.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. And that was one of the first things you said right at the beginning. You have to feel in order to heal. Yeah. And I by the way, I can't wait till we get to the, you know, the fifth chakra, which is the throat. And speaking, because growing up in Cameroon, man, like the way the culture is kind of set up is you really respect your elders, right? And so being outspoken as a child, which my mom's got all kinds of stories to tell about that, and I don't believe half of them because I don't remember them. but being outspoken as a child is a big no-no. And so when you were telling that, you know, I was like, oh, man, that's like everybody growing up back home, is your elders have the final say. They're like everything. And that showed up for me even here in the United States when I worked as pharmacy director and I had to, say, have tough conversations with people who were, you know, older than me, old enough to be my mom, or just that respect or that sense of, my goodness, how do I talk to this person who is basically my mom, has grandkids, or someone who is old enough to be like my really, really big sister? Like, how do you have a tough conversation with them? But it's a fear that I worked on.
Way to be. So. Yep, you had opportunity laid out in front of you. Like, are you willing to grow, mm-hmm. or are you willing to stay stuck?
Yeah, I was willing
to
grow.
So that is beautiful. It's just so magical when we can lean back and just look at the higher perspective of something and feel the uncomfortable things without adding a big old story to it of, you know, be willing to drop the filters in order to see, like, oh, this is an opportunity here for me.
Indeed.
To rise above it.
Yeah.
Rise above it.
Wow. No, another fascinating conversation, my friend CJ. So kind of the big takeaways are emotions, emotions, emotions.
Yeah. Gotta, like, feel them.
Gotta feel them with the second chakra. And then, you know, once we clean these up, it really helps us show up in the world better, the way we're perceiving our interactions, our experiences, our relationships. We're looking at them through the right filters. And then the other big piece is actually creative expression, right? When we're, you know, not having any, you know, challenges, any fear-based blockages or limiting beliefs housed in our second chakra, it really improves our ability to express ourselves creatively.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we're just a hollow bone. We're a flute. And the more that you can remove the blockages in there, the better the music will be. Because the energy, the prana, the universal life force can just flow through you and make this beautiful sound and not be jerky or, you know, plugged or, you know, if you're willing to release those blockages from your tissues, energy can just flow through you, which then your health improves as well, because energy can just flow through you.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. We should watch in yourself as we, and as people listening to the series, what shows up in your life around the first chakra. So when, and what shows up in your life now that you've listened to this second chakra.
That'll be fascinating.
You know? And before the next one shows up, it's just magical how things will rise up in your awareness of, like, oh, I remember when I did the very first chakra class, that I did the crystal chakra class when I had the store. And we met every other week. One of the gals, we met for chakra one, which is all about family and, you know, all this stuff. And she didn't tell anybody that she was in this. When she got home that night, there was a package in her mailbox, I think, from a stepfather that she had when she was younger. He had enclosed and sent her all of these pictures of her childhood, of that grandma and all things. And she hadn't talked to him in I don't know how long, had no idea that this class was going on. But when she got home, she got this package. And I don't even know if there was a letter in there or whatever. It didn't matter. But she had a piece of her family had showed up in her mailbox that night when she got home after class. And it was just like, whoa. And just that, those are just cool stories all the time that will show up for each chakra. Somebody else would have something show up for them that they needed to clear up or that was there. And just synchronicities. It's just beautiful.
Man, it is.
So see if anything happens for you. And while we're listening to these each time.
Yeah. No, please do, and share with us. Char is definitely, she's on social media. I'll have links to her Facebook account in the notes section of this podcast, as well as her website. Char, you're so amazing. Honestly, I I love this. I can't wait for the next ones. And I also promise I will be paying attention to see how my creativity, how it works going forward. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for another amazing conversation, Char. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for having me. It's fun. Yeah. I love talking about this stuff. You know.
Indeed. Guys, you know how to connect with me. Roland@chenjiang.com. I just launched my new website. It's looking fabulous. And my audiobook is now available on Audible. I know you've been waiting, so please grab a copy and then connect with me on Instagram and Facebook at Roland Achenjang. And until next time, thank you. Thank you much for listening. Stay safe.